and settle in for a full hour of automotive mayhem with the real car guy, master technician, Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Rolled out to my Chevrolet. I climbed down up inside. I pulled the choke and I turned the key, but the old girl wouldn't start. She let out a whine so pitiful it nearly broke my heart.
Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name's Mark Salem, and this is 960 The Patriot, KKNT. And I'm here to help you with your car questions, car problems, or talk about some decision that you might have. And the easiest way to do it, the lines are wide open right now, is 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. Now's the time to get in. It gets kind of busy later in the show, but if you have a car question, give me a call. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Quality Transmission. If you have an issue with a transmission, Bob or Steve at Quality Transmission are guys you really need to call. They have many years of experience. They don't guess with your money. They know how to repair transmissions. Quality Transmission is located in Tempe on McClintock North University. No matter where you live, they're worth the drive. And you can tell them Mark Salem sent you. A couple of things that came across my desk this week that we have a problem with at our office building with our internet. And originally, our telephone company said, you know, you have 1 megabyte up and down. And that's some kind of a speed number that determines how fast we're going to access the internet, change pages on the internet, blah, 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 blah. So we weren't happy with the speed, so we asked them, what can we do? And they said, you can pay us more money to go to 3 megabytes. And we said, okay, we'll do it. So they put us at 3 megabytes, and everything was fine till about 6 months ago. And then all of a sudden, it's like we're on a party line. It can take as many as 30 seconds to change a page on the internet. So
we've got Bob and Glenn.
Over the last couple of months, we've been talking to our long-distance company, and this is exactly like car repair is, because they're telling us what's wrong with our system, but they won't fix it themselves. And even though I'm offering to pay them, I will allow you access through the back door of our system. I'll give you access to my server. I'll give you access to my firewall. You can come in and do it. No, we need you to change it to duplex, because here's the problem, Mark. It's 100, we're giving you 100, and we're only getting back 50. So there's some kind of a restriction on your end. Where do you think the restriction's at? Well, it's got to be your firewall, okay? So I hire a firewall expert. He comes over and he says, there is no such thing as a duplex setting on yours. It's full auto all the time. So I call him back and tell him, no, Mark. Okay, I'll tell you what, guys. Do you have anybody in Phoenix that you really like and trust? Can you refer me to somebody who knows what you're talking about? No, we can't do that. We're not allowed to do that. Okay? How about this? I'll pay you to do it. We can't do that either. So you're going to tell me what's wrong, and nobody here knows what you're talking about, and you're telling me that you're sending me 100 and you get back 50. Yep. That's just like car repair. That's like somebody over the phone diagnosing your car. And I say to them, I'm not happy with this scenario. I came in here on Sunday, shut every computer off in the entire building, and got onto mine and did that speed test you said, and I'm at 0.9 and 0.8, and I should be at 3.0 and 3.0. And there was no one else on, and I was here at 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning where there's no one else in the neighborhood working. Well, Mark, it's in that firewall. Now, Mark, you got to take your laptop and you got to go over here and plug into here. So I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to bypass the whole firewall. I'm going to take the firewall out of the system. Oh, that'll do it, Mark. That'll do it. Well, it didn't do it. We go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So I told him Friday I was going to exercise my option to cancel the contract. And we're going to find somebody to fix our problem or whatever. But I'm going to leave you because you're telling me there's a problem, but no one knows what you're talking about. You won't fix it, you won't refer somebody to fix it, and I'm willing to pay all the freight. But here's another problem is we don't really know whose fault it is until we fix it. So I've already spent a whole lot of money, and if I find out it's your fault, I'm going to really be mad. That's what car repair is all about. How can you say you know what it is until it gets fixed? Because the person that fixes it is the person that knows. Which brings up those scanners. And the scanners, the other day on the newspaper, and I'm going to get to you, Bob and Glenn, just a second. The other day in the newspaper, it said that CarMD, which is a handheld code reader that they put on late-night TV all the time, dust and dirt can and will affect your oxygen sensor performance. Folks, let me ask you a question. There's two ends of an oxygen sensor. One end is in your exhaust pipe. Do you really think that there's dust and dirt inside your exhaust pipe, especially that might be 2 feet away from the motor? This is the exhaust pipe. Now, there is a small vent on the outside of the oxygen sensor where it compares the air inside and outside. Those people, all you grandmas and grandpas that go out four-wheeling in your Cadillacs through mud that's 2 foot deep, when you got mud all over, top to bottom, left and right, everywhere, where you've got 4 inches of mud on the hood, where you just back up and you go as fast as you can through that mud hole that might be 4 or 5 feet deep of clay mud, you might end up with that, that hole plugged. I've never seen it in 30 years. I've never replaced that oxygen sensor in 30 years because that vent hole's plugged up. This, folks, is just a way to get you to buy this component so you can read your own codes. But don't forget this. The code is this. This is what the guy's saying to you. This is what the little man inside that code reader says. Mark, I see a problem with the O2 sensor. That's it. It doesn't know anything more than that. Now, there's probably 3 to 1,000 codes in many of your cars. And the problem is when it says oxygen sensor, here's what it's really saying. There's a problem in Oklahoma, Mark, but you just got to figure out what city, what county, what street, what number, what zip code. But the problem is in Oklahoma. That's exactly what they're saying. So this code readers, gosh darn it, those are $5, $10, $15. They don't tell you anything except what state the problem's in. The scanners that cost $20,000 to $50,000, $10,000 to $25,000 on the used market, those give you numbers that you can read. But you still have to know what the numbers is. So if the oxygen sensor says 0.45, do you really know what's good and bad? And what about if it's jumping from 0.1 to 0.9 and it's moving fast? Is that good or is that bad? You better know, because that's what the scanner's all about. It assumes you know what you're looking for. If you look at your mass airflow sensor and it says, I'm giving you 90 grams of air. Is that normal for idle? What about zero at idle? Does that sound normal? And the answer to all the things I told you is bogus. The oxygen sensor should go back and forth with 4.5, or 0.45 is the middle, and 0.1 on the bottom, 0.9 on the top. Those are the extremes. Your grams per second into the engine, 6 to 8 grams. Wide open throttle, could be 60, 70, 80 grams. Depends on what kind of rocket ship you got underneath there. All righty, Bob, you're up first. Thank you very much for calling. Glenn, you're up second. Bob, how can I help you?
Oh, my problem's in Gilbert.
Okay. Okay. I'm good there.
All right. I've got a 93 Toyota Camry. The first engine went almost 300,000 miles. Got a second engine that had 150 on it when I got it put in. First engine I was getting 28 miles to the gallon. Now I'm getting 15. Blows out black smoke. If you stand behind the exhaust, it'll pepper your leg. And it doesn't run too good when you start putting on your brake. In fact, it'll even die at the intersection and you got to restart it.
Okay. Based on what you're telling me, clearly it's running really rich. We're putting an abnormal amount of fuel. And I suppose if you get off the freeway, do you get that rotten egg smell where the converter's been overloaded with fuel, so you get that sulfur smell? Do you ever smell that?
And that's what I thought. I thought, well, it's my clogged converter. That's what I thought it was.
Yeah.
People are telling me no.
Well, it's just not yet plugged.
Oh, okay.
All right, here's the deal. Remember that, the barbecue. The wife sends you out, and she says, we got company coming for steaks. Go out, and so you put the briquettes in the barbecue, you squirt a little lighter fluid on it, you stand back, throw a match, poof, right?
Yes.
What happens if I stood there next to you with a fire extinguisher with lighter fluid in it, and I just kept pumping lighter fluid on there? After a while, I bet I could melt your metal grill. I bet I could get that fire going really, really red hot. And that's what happens when you overload the catalytic converter with fuel. Sooner or later, it's going to plug up. The plug-up symptoms are, hey, Mark, it runs fine every once in a while, but sometimes it won't go over 15 miles an hour. My foot's all the way to the floor, and it won't go over 15 miles an hour. I say, this is how we're going to test your cat, but it sounds like your cat's bad. What has to happen is we have to go in and look and see which sensor's lying. Here's an example. If you went in and pulled a code on that thing, it may say to you, I have a problem in the coolant sensor. And you say, how can the coolant sensor cause a code?
2 minutes.
And then I look at the scanner and I see that the coolant sensor is at minus 40. Is that good or bad, Bob?
Well, minus 40, that's got to be bad.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Minus 40 means it's disconnected. Minus 40 means the wire's cut. Minus 40 means the connection's bad. Now, let me ask you, if we were in minus 40, would the computer overfuel that engine thinking that we're in really cold weather and it needs to add extra fuel to the motor to keep it running?
I guess it would.
Absolutely. But you're not going to get that on a code reader. So the idea is that somebody with a good scanner is going to go in there and look at the O2 sensor performance, going to look at the fuel pressure regulator that can overfuel the motor. It's going to look at the catalyst to make sure the catalyst is working right. It's going to make sure that the coolant sensor is reading right. It's going to make sure that the mass airflow sensor is reading
right.
Those are all the things it's going to do. You're going to spend somewhere between $75 and $150, depending on the shop, and then they should give you a firm diagnosis when you look them in the eye and you say, this is a fix, right, Mark? This is not a guess, because I don't want to pay for a guess. And I'm going to say, no, I'm going to replace this part or clean this part and do this labor. Your bill's going to be this much money, and when we're done, your problem's solved. It's going to take a couple days for it to clear out that cat, but we'll be okay after that. So that's what it sounds like when somebody's confident in their diagnosis. But and they may come back and say, hey, you need some spark plugs or something, because they're all black. But you say, you know, I think I'll drive it first for a while. Glenn, I'm going to get you on the other side of this break. The lines are still open, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. My name is Mark Salem. We're here for you. I'm here to help you understand car repair and how to get good car repair somewhere. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back, everybody. We're going to zip on over to the phones, but before we do, this portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. They're located in Mesa, the south side of Main Street, just east of Stapley, Main and Stapley. They've been in business since 1970. Brian and Thelma are equipped to handle all major and minor repairs on foreign and domestic cars. They're a AAA-approved shop. He's an ASE-certified Blue Seal shop, which only about one out of every 10 shops can make it. He's also a person on the council that helps guide our industry, the Carquest Council, and they were named Business of the Year in 2009 by the Mesa Chamber of Commerce. I'm proud to have Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing on our our shop list. Hey, Bob, one other thing. If you have a good shop and you like them, then you should go to them. But if you're looking for a good shop and you don't have someone you can trust, go to marksalem.com and click on Best Car Repair Shops. In there, it talks about the shops in your area and why I like them so doggone much. Glenn, you're up next. Glenn, how are you today?
All right, thank you. Say, I've got an 08 Mercury Grand Marquis at 42,000 miles about 30. When I start the engine every fifth or frost time or 20th time, hot or cold, I get a hammering noise for about a second or two. It sounds like maybe a lifter leaking down or something.
Okay. Could you tell the difference if if it was pinging or knocking as opposed to a lifter? A lifter's more of a clicking noise, where a pinging or a knocking or a cylinder full of water or a cylinder full of gas would be kind of a heavier knock. Do you think you can make the distinguishing between those two?
Well, I don't think it's a ping, no. I mean, I don't think it's a clicking noise, no.
Okay.
Or a hammering noise.
Okay, because a ping, well, a lifter would be more of a clicking noise most of the time. I'll tell you something else, too. It could be a lifter. It could be an exhaust leak that's going to tick and sound like a click?
Louder than that. It's more of louder than a tick.
Okay.
Exhaust tick.
Okay. All right. Well, then you may have an injector that leaks down over time and fills the cylinder full of liquid gas. And as you know, science class taught us all that you can't compress a liquid.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to knock until you get that cylinder cleaned out. And during that period of time, you're probably going to have an engine miss of one of the eight cylinders or the six cylinders that you got in your Mercury.
That's an eight-cylinder.
Okay. It is an eight-cylinder?
Oh, yeah. It's a V460.
Okay. All right. So in your particular case, if you have a miss, then what you'd probably do, because it'll only happen one every 20 times, is you probably pull the spark plugs out of it and just look at them. And if one of them is definitely a different color, it's whiter than the rest or darker than the rest, then if it were my car, I'd switch it with the next cylinder. I'd just switch two spark plugs and see if the problem was with the spark plug or if the other one turned out a different color. And if it did, then I'd go into that cylinder and check to make sure the springs aren't broken on the valves. I'd make sure that the injector would hold pressure. Now, if I'm right and it is feeding fuel into that one cylinder, it should be a little longer cranking on that morning than other mornings.
But does it warm or cold? That makes a difference.
Okay.
What happens.
All right. So you don't notice an extended crank?
No, not at all.
All right. All right. The other thing is you just park it there and let them start it two or three mornings in a row. What we do is we put about six or seven stethoscopes on it with a pair of ears to each stethoscope, and all we want to do is find out which side of the motor it is first. And then from there, we can start messing and changing things to determine what it is. We may unplug two injectors in the morning and see if it knocks. And then if it does, then we'll unplug the other two on that bank. But this is going to be a diagnostic. You only have two options here, Glenn. Either you can spend some money having somebody check it out that they're going to need the car for a couple of days.
Oh.
Or you can wait till it gets worse and easier to find. And frankly, I can't guide you on that, Glenn, because I'd like to hear the noise first. I can't tell you it's going to be okay until I know what it is. But most of the time, you don't have any other symptoms. You're not telling me that your fuel economy's gone to
nope.
heck.
Nope.
You're not telling me you're consuming oil.
Nope.
You're not telling me that the oil's turned black all of a sudden.
Nope.
You're not telling me that there's any other problems. So you might, you could pull an oil sample out and take it over to Empire Machine there on the 60 and Country Club and have them do an analysis on the oil. And if they say there's a whole bunch of metal in there, then maybe it's something's coming apart inside the motor. But at 40,000 miles, I doubt it.
Well, it's got 47 on it now. It's
okay.
5,000 miles. Nope.
All right. So you only have two choices. Spend somebody to spend some time trying to isolate it or just wait till it gets worse.
Thank you very much.
Good luck to you, Ken. Thank you very much. Al, you're up next. How are you today?
Doing great. Mark, thanks a lot for taking my call.
You bet.
I'm pretty tall, 6 foot, a little over, and I just cannot feel comfortable in sitting in most seats. The cars that I have, tough on a long trip, and I've been looking around thinking about a new car, and I see they're all, the legroom is pretty much all the same in most cars. So
mm-hmm.
A Cadillac dealer actually said that they have a service that they use, a company that actually will extend the seats for some of their athlete customers.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I was just wondering, based on your experience, with insurance companies and such, what do you think about that kind of modification, and especially with regards to insurance?
You hit the nail on the head. First of all, a horror story not too long ago, there was a car dealership that sent a small truck in to extend the legroom, and the bill was $1,200. And when the guy got in, it was actually closer to the steering wheel than it was before. And then they sent it over back to the people, and the people would do nothing about it. I know who that company is, and I won't do business with them. So you need to protect yourself there. Now, second of all, it depends on what they're doing. If they're taking the seat base off and then moving everything forward and reattaching the seat base to the seat in exactly the same way but in different locations, that might be okay. But you need to investigate, how are you doing this? We don't want them taking some coat hangers and moving that seat back and tying those coat hangers up real tight. We want something that's kind of engineered. We want something that we're pretty confident. Now, when you're strapped into your seat, and hopefully you wear your seatbelt all the time, when you're strapped into your seat, then the seatbelt's going to hold you in the seat because the straps on the seatbelt are independent of the seat itself. So, but there's always a possibility that if you get rear-ended that the seat back collapses and your head goes backwards and it bends over the back of the seat, then you suffer spinal or neck injuries. So, yes, there are places, but you need to be deeply involved in that.
Two minutes.
Cadillac dealer, tell me where to go, and let me go talk to them, and let me see them do another car. Let me see what the before and after looks like. Now, if they're underneath there and they're re-engineering and they're TIG welding and they've got some really nice steel and they're going to powder coat it for you and they're going to make a new base and then they're going to move the seat back on the new base and move it back 6 inches and this extension is perfectly made and good and durable and certainly a lot stronger than the seat base, heck yes. But there's still going to be an issue somewhere down the road if you get hurt and your family and those attorneys that are related to your family might decide to go after the seat maker if it can be proven. And, of course, there's experts that will swear that the sun's not going to shine tomorrow, so you know that that can happen. There's always a liability problem when you redesign a car. There's always.
Yeah, what about the insurance company? Do they insure a car after that?
Yeah.
Expect it, or?
Yeah. I mean, I'd get a copy of this shop's liability policy.
1 minute.
And I'd hope you had $1 million policy because all of us should have that.
Okay.
So, you know, you say to the shop, have you got garage liability, and can I have a copy of your policy? And not that I think anything's going to happen. It's just that my wife's kind of crazy about that stuff. Blame it on her. Okay?
All right, great. Thanks.
All right, good luck, Al. Joe and Richard, you'll be next as soon as we get done with this break. Joe and Richard and anybody else at 602-508-0960. 602-508-0916, you can call. Now, when they talk about intelligent conservative radio here on KKNT, I got to buy on the intelligent part, okay? So, we're on my show, we talk about conservative radio, but the intelligent part, I didn't pass the test, so therefore they won't let me use that. So, from now on, it's 960 The Patriot here at KKNT, and it is conservative radio for the 11 o'clock hour, the 10 to 11 o'clock hour, right here. We'll be back right after this.
The mechanic raised up from under my hood and he shook his head.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We're back talking about cars. My name is Mark Salem, and you're listening to 960 The Patriot right here on KKNT every Saturday here. We're talking about cars, and all you have to do is join us is just give us a call, 602-508-0960. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Larry Harker's Auto Repair. Full service. Family-owned auto repair shop located at 38th Avenue and Indian School. Larry Harker's a trusted name for quality and affordable automotive service and maintenance in the Phoenix area. If you live south of Camelback and west of the I-17, south of Camelback, all the way to the 101, he holds down that area all by himself. But if you have a good shop, you stay there. But if you're looking for a good shop and you're in that area, 38th Avenue in any school, then Larry Harker's is a place to go. Richard, good morning to you. Thank you for holding. How can I help you?
Yes, good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
I got a couple of questions. One is, I have a 03 Infiniti I-35, got about 40,000 miles on it. And the last time I was in getting oil changed, the technician suggested I change the transmission oil. What's the story with that?
Well, you're one of those guys that really makes our hair turn from brown to chrome. And it's not because of you, it's because of the way you drive. We struggle with a car that's 8 years old with 40,000 miles on it. That's 5,000 miles a year.
Uh-huh.
You're not driving that.
No.
Don't you have a grandson that just turned 16 years old? Or can you put a taxi thing on the top of it and go drive it?
Yeah, I probably could.
So how do we fit you into these brackets? Now, if we do it by time, you are way past brake fluid, tranny service, cooling system, and all the fluids. You're way past all the filters. But if we go to 40,000 and say, forget the time, I agree that you should have the fluid changed. I do the filter and the fluid the first time, and then at 60 more, another 40,000, I do a flush.
Okay.
So I do the filter and the fluid. You should spend somewhere between $100 and $150 to have the filter and the fluid changed. They're only going to get 4 of the quarts of fluid and the filter. Next time, they're going to flush all the fluid and leave the filter in there.
I see.
That's what I would do.
I see. Okay, I didn't know, so I said I'll check into it.
Sure.
So, but it's the time frame that is the worst part of this, huh?
Yeah, that's the part. You know, I have lots of senior ladies in Ahwatukee that drive 1,000 miles a year. Do I go 3 years without an oil change?
No.
You know? So you got to kind of talk to them. And I've got Mrs. Jones. She drives a block to the liquor store and back. And so she never warms the car up. So I change her twice a year, whether she likes it or not. But I have other ladies who go up to Sedona a lot, and they go shopping at the outlet malls. Well, they're warming their car up. So I say to them, I'm going to put a semi-synthetic oil in it. We're going to do it once a year, and we're going to do it the first hot month. Let's do it in May. So you'll go through the summer with fresh oil. So I'll see you in May, and we're going to check, and we're going to change your oil, and I'm going to get you the whole year because I'm going to use a semi-synthetic oil, and I'm going to put you on a 5,000-mile interval.
I see.
So that they have to work with you. They can't take advantage of you. They have to work with you. And until they start asking you questions, they're more interested in their pocket than yours.
I got it. Okay. Hey, another thing. In the middle of last week, I was listening to your program, or I heard an advertisement for it, that last Saturday's program, you had some kind of information about increasing your gas mileage.
Yeah.
And I wasn't able to get to a radio, so I didn't hear it.
Okay.
Can you tell me anything about it?
It was just a joke. I promise to double your fuel economy for $29.95.
Oh.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to hook up a really loud horn inside the car, and every time you hit the brake, I'm going to blow this loud horn at you. And you're going to learn how to anticipate traffic and do a lot of coasting, and you know that the last thing you want to do is hit the brake, because I'm going to take that away from you.
I got it.
And if you pretend like you have no brakes, you will get tremendous fuel economy, because you'll learn to look far ahead and anticipate traffic and coast a lot.
Okay.
So that's it was a tongue-in-cheek kind of thing, but I've actually had somebody come in, and we put the horn in for $29.95. and the wife brought the car in the next day and said, get that you-know-what out of here.
I got it.
So that's the thing. Thank you very much, Richard.
All right, thanks, Mark.
All righty, you betcha.
Yep.
And that's really the truth. It's, if you want good fuel economy, everybody thinks it's the fuel, the throttle, and it is, but it's even more the brake. Every morning when you go to work, count how many times you touch your brake pedal. And the next morning, try to beat that by one. So I touch my brake pedal 19 times on my way to work. Okay, next week, or tomorrow, I'm going to do 18, and then 17. And I'm just going to have a game where I'm going to try to stay off the brake pedal. But, you know, it's hard. It's not easy to get great fuel economy. But that's why we said, well, if we put a big air horn inside that car, I don't care how deaf you are, I'm going to shake you to your bones. And every time you hit the... And then, of course, people are going to look at you, too, because you're sitting at the intersection with the horn blowing inside your car. Nevertheless, we're talking about cars. 602-508-0960. And Joe and Michael, you're next when we come back. I promise. You're first and second. My name is Mark Salem. We'll be back after this. This is 960 The Patriot.
The mechanic raised up from under my hood.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Mark Salem, and this portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Kurt's Auto Repair. Kurt and the boys up north have experience working on just about anything with a steering wheel. Domestic, import, gas, diesel, blue, yellow, red. Kurt's Auto is located at I-17 and Bell Road in Phoenix, and since they've opened in 1992, they've been a member in good standing with the Better Business Bureau. I-17 and Bell, if you don't have a shop and you live near I-17 and Bell, please try Kurt's Auto. You'll understand why I recommend those guys. They are wonderful. Joe, you're up next, buddy. How can I help you today?
Well, good morning, Mr. Salem.
Good morning.
I called a few weeks ago. I had a problem with an idle for a 99 Dodge Intrepid.
Okay.
Where I was sitting at the light with the transmission and drive, you know, you're just waiting, and it would go from the 7650, and then it would just take a dive like, and you told me to check the wiring diagram, and I checked, and I found the culprit was the sensor in that power steering reservoir that gives you the extra juice when you're like in a parking lot making a wide turn.
Yes.
And it's weird because that's supposed to give you more RPMs, but it was taking them away, which is weird, which that scanning tool would have never told me.
No, it would have.
I mean, I didn't have an engine code. I mean, I didn't have nothing.
No, but when we looked at, where was the sensor located? Was it in the power steering hose itself?
Yes, sir. Right where the reservoir is, okay. And it's like brass.
Okay.
And then it comes through the...
So the sensor senses that the pressure in the hydraulics is high. So at that point, it tells the computer, and the computer's thinking that you're parallel parking. And so we're going to see high idle or low idle, and we're going to see high pressure when really no one's touched the steering wheel. So
yeah.
That would have been something we would have seen with the scanner without a code.
Oh,
we don't
okay.
need a code to fix a car. You just
no, I don't
a,
either.
You just need somebody to tell you the symptoms. That's
hey, I got a quick question. Now, the TPS sensors, you know how they got those two screws?
Yeah.
It seems like they're welding in?
Yeah.
What's the easiest way to get those out?
You can't unless you have the right tool. They don't want you messing with that because if you mess with it, what can happen is your car can start mossing over and never run again. really and truly, unless you got a reason to go in there and replace that, leave that alone. Because it has to be synchronized with the throttle blades and the idle. And if you've messed with it already, then somebody's going to have to go back and do what we call curb idle setup. But at this TPS value, at this RPM, and at this throttle blade angle, they all have to be, all those numbers have to be synchronized in order for the computer to understand what's going on. So
oh, I got you.
Please don't. Thank you very much, Joe. I appreciate your call. Let's move to Michael real quick. Michael, how are you today? What can we do for you?
Yes, sir. Hang on just a second. Let me step outside here.
Okay.
You caught me traveling.
All righty.
I have, my family has a 2000 Hyundai Elantra that's got about 85,000 miles on it. It's been a hand-me-down. It's on its third 16-year-old.
Okay.
And about a week ago, the check engine light came on. So I took it to a new shop that I've been to one time before. They've got two locations, and it's a good got a good reputation.
Okay.
And they did the code and all that fun stuff like that, and it turned out to be the fuel system of some kind. They told me the first thing they checked was the gas cap.
Okay.
And that didn't seem to be the problem, so they went through and they replaced something. And I'll be honest, I don't know things about cars, and it was like a compressor or something like that. It was a little over $200 to repair.
Okay.
My son got the car back on Saturday. He's been sick for most of the week and out of school, and took it yesterday for about the first time and drove for a while, needed gas, put gas in it, and he says about 20 minutes later, the check engine light came back on.
Okay.
And I've taken it back to the shop, and they're checking it out right now, but when I told them that he put the gas in it, and 20 minutes later it came back on, they said, well, it sounds like it's the gas cap. And I'm just asking so I can be proactive. If they call me and tell me it's the gas cap, where they had supposedly checked that before, and it wasn't, and then they replaced something at a cost of over $200, should I be upset, or
okay.
should I be concerned?
All
or
right. Okay, I can answer this. First of all, obviously they're dealing in the evaporative fuel system, where we suck fumes off the tank and feed them to the engine.
Okay.
All right? It is possible, and it happens all the time, that we get people that don't tighten the cap to two or three or four clicks. They get lazy, they hear one, and they stop. So, if this is the case, your bill should be zero. They'll tighten up the gas cap, and they'll say to you, drive it for another week. No light, another fill-up. No light, we're home free, we did fix it, leave it alone, we're done. On the other hand, if this continues on, did you ask for your old part back?
No, I did not.
Shame on you. Shame on you. So you're going to go back and want $200 worth of credit, but you don't have your old part back. But if you walked back in and said, after four times, it's clear this part's not a part of the problem, so here's my old part, you put it back on, and I want a credit, and let's keep looking. You don't have that, do you?
No, I don't.
Okay. Shame on you. Does your wife know that you did that?
No.
Okay.
You're not going to tell her, are you?
I'm not going to tell her. So okay. The idea is it's their responsibility. Now, let me ask you a question. Ask the boy, are you stuffing the tank? Are you click, 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 and you're stuffing the tank? Because that will overflow the tank and go into the carbon canister and screw up everything if you're one of those tank packers. So when once it clicks, then I say go another 3 or 4 cents to be an even, you know, even 35 cents or whatever it happens to be, but don't stuff the tank. Because there's times out there that the fuel system, the evaporative system, is contaminated with liquid gasoline because the driver is stuffing the tank. So rather than clean everything up or replace a bunch of components, the repair is to stop, you know, run it from a half a tank and lower for the next 30 days and let's suck out all that liquid out of the evaporative system and your car will be fine. But it's their responsibility. They told you they fixed the evaporative system. If we have codes from the evaporative system that you still have now, after they fixed it. This is their baby to take care of. And you just go in and drop it off and say, please don't spend any of my money until you let me know. Okay? So you guys recheck your work and make sure everything you did right is fine. But in this case, we'll tighten up the gas cap, and we'll make sure that we get 4 or 5 clicks on it when we shut it, and we'll see if that makes it happen.
Very good, sir.
All right. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
You betcha. And Brian, you're up next. Brian, how are you today?
Good, Mark. How are you?
Good, good.
Hey, I bought an old car at an auction. It's an old 31 Ford Model A with a 350 and all that kind of fun stuff.
Okay.
And, you know, have no idea who built it and all that kind of thing. It seems to run fine now. I got to change the carburetor out of this thing. Got electrical problems. Who in town handles electrical stuff? Is Elliot still in business, or?
You know, I am quite sure they are. Let me ask you, what's the symptoms? What's it doing?
Well, now none of the gauges are working.
Okay.
And then it's killing the battery, so it's got a short somewhere.
Okay, all right. Well, that's not hard. That's not hard. What dashboard has it got in, Chevy or Ford?
Well, no, it's got a, you know, this is a 1931, so somebody's put all these custom gauges in it.
Okay.
And unfortunately, they put, you know, they've carpeted everything.
All right.
So all this wiring and stuff's buried under carpet.
Okay.
But it's pretty good. They can go through and really do the analysis.
Well, what they're going to do is pull the dashboard out of it, or pull the instrument cluster out of it, and they're going to find out...
Well, it really doesn't come out because it's mounted into a metal dash.
So there's no way we can take it out?
Yeah.
Well, how are we going to get to the back of it to check for power and ground at the
skinny little guy. You got a little skinny guy?
Well, I got one that's about an inch and a half tall, but his eyesight is terrible. How's he going to handle that?
You know, that's the hard part. It's just a pain in the ass.
Well, you say it doesn't come out, but I can tell you what. I got a couple of technicians that could pull that out. But the answer is this. What part of town do you live in?
Oh, Mark, you know, I don't mind bringing it to your shop.
No. What part of town do you live in?
I live in 8th Street in, Central and Glendale.
Okay. Go up there to Blackwell Auto, 40th Blackwell? And Greenway. And Tom Blackwell's the owner, and this is what you say. You say, I've been told that there's not a human being on the planet that would even know where to start on this thing. And I want to do the gauges first. I want to get the gauges to work first. And then secondly, I want to work on why it's not charging. Okay? But I need to know in advance, like, give me some parameters on what the diagnostic fee is going to be. But I heard it on the website or something that you were pretty good, but I've been told nobody in the world can fix it. That's called waving the red flag in front of the bull. Okay? And
how much of the old car stuff do you guys like to do anymore?
Give me that again?
How much old car stuff do you like to do?
We do it all the time.
So, yeah, I mean, I've got everything from, you know, 41 Cadillac. I got a bunch of junk.
No, I've got a 67 Chevelle Super Sport sitting here right now. We just put, you know, the old 51, 52 Chevys that had that torque shaft for the rear end? We just put a new one in that. We just took a 3-speed out the other day and put it together, put some new synchros in it. So we work on the old cars, but I don't want you to drive. You're going to pass lots of good shops on your way here.
Well, that's all right.
I know, but my focus is to do what's in your best interest, not in mine. I don't even say the name of my shop on this radio show.
Well,
because
I understand that, Mark, okay. But you know what? I got 10 old cars to play with. So.
All right. Well, whatever.
I don't mind bringing business to you either, but I'll follow up and I'll give Blackwell I'll give them the 31, see what they can do with it.
All righty. Good enough. Thank you very much. All righty. I want to tell you about a great body shop. Speaking of guys that are really professional, first of all, it's important to know that you don't have to take your car anywhere except where you want to. By law, you can fix the place to fix your car. I recommend Phoenix Body Works up north. Greg May, the owner, will be your advocate. If you have an insurance claim, they work hassle-free with the insurance company. They're insurance company-friendly, but they're not going to let the insurance company take advantage of you. Some do, not all. So they're not going to let the insurance company put a cheap door, cheap panel, cheap headlights on your car, especially if you had halogens in there and they want to put some incandescent piece of you-know-what on there. No, we're not going to do that. Greg May's going to make sure your car's put together the right place at the right time at the affordable price with quality parts. I've been recommending Phoenix Body Works for lots of years, and I've heard nothing but excellent things from their customers. I'm proud to have him on my best car repair shops list. Phoenix Body Works, he's located at 19th Avenue, half block north of Deer Valley Road. 19th Avenue, half block north of Deer Valley Road. And you can reach him Monday through Friday and Saturday from 9 to 2. 19th Avenue and Deer Valley Road. Gene, you're up next. Gene, how are you today?
I'm great, Mark. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, by the way, I got just one quick comment on the braking that you were talking about.
Uh-huh.
I've got 112,000 miles on a 2002 Chevy Silverado, and I've yet to replace the pads, mainly because I've been doing what you've been professing all these years, doing a gradual stop and rolling stop and whatnot,
yep.
And it's just great. So anyway, just wanted to give you a kudo on that.
Let me tell you, hold on. I'm going to comment to you. You have saved yourself $250 for every brake job times five. So you've already saved $1,000 per 100,000 miles.
Absolutely, and I'm loving it.
Yeah. All right, good job. Good job. That's making money.
All right. Well, hey, I've got another vehicle. It's a 1995 Chevy Lumina APV, a minivan, and it's got the 3.1 liter V6 and the 220 throttle body fuel injector.
Okay.
And what's happened, I guess at some point when it was serviced or what have you, the gasket that sits on top of the throttle body that meets up with the base of the air cleaner housing was dislodged, misplaced, or what have you. I picked up the gasket, and I've got a dumb question for you. I don't know whether or not this gasket requires gasket sealant.
No,
does it?
No.
It doesn't. Got it.
Here's what I do, though. Clean the chamfered area around the neck of your throttle body.
Okay.
I'd put a dab of silicone in four places, 12 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 3 o'clock, on the back of the gasket.
Okay.
Then I'd set the gasket down, and then I'd put the air cleaner on top of it. Here's why. From now on, it's not going to stick to your air cleaner, and you're going to lose it. It's going to stay where it really needs to be long. You don't need any other sealer. All we want to do is hold it in one place.
Good deal. Great advice.
Okay.
I wasn't quite sure if it needed to be permanent or not, but I like the silicone.
Yep. And that way you know that it's easier to clean off than Yellow Death. Yellow Death, by the way, is a weather stripping stuff that we use every once in a while. And man, oh man, you're going to take a chisel and a hammer and some razor blades for the rest of your life. Okay, number one, if you have a car question that I didn't get to today, you can always email me. It's really
one
easy.
Minute.
Mark@marksalem.com. Mark@marksalem. S-A-L-E-M, just like the cigarette. Mark@marksalem.com. You can send me an email anytime you want. I personally answer every single one of them. And what you need is in front of anything of mine. I'm here for you. I do this because I've been blessed in ways I've never imagined. And so this is my self-described penance is to help you with car-related problems. And every once in a while I get in trouble. But you know what? If you play by the rules, you miss all the fun. And that's my mantra for life. If you play by the rules, you miss all the fun. So until then, you can stop by MarkSalem.com, and that's a great place to go as well. I'll be here every Saturday from 10 to 11 right here on 960 The Patriot KKNT. Until then, please wear your seatbelt. God bless you and drive safely.